Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome to Hacks and Hobbies. I'm your host, Junaid, and today I'm joined by an incredible guest whose journey is proof that resilience and mindset are game changers. Dr. Clancy is a forensic nurse turned mindset and business strategist. She's a number one international best-selling author, global speaker, trainer, coach, and consultant, known around the world for helping people shift from survival mode to peak performance potential. In this episode, we're going to unpack how her unique path and her philosophy of embracing the freedom to fail unlocks real success. Dr. Clancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Junaid. Pleasure to be here.
You have one of the most unique journeys I've seen, from working in forensic nursing to becoming a global mindset and business strategist. Can you take us back to what sparked that shift? And I'm going to be tripping over all of my words, so don't mind that.
I don't mind at all, because I probably will too. So what started it all? I knew I always wanted to be a nurse and went to school, became the nurse. I'm actually a first-generation college student and graduated nursing school and, you know, lots of hiccups along the way, which is where the mindset piece comes in. And I went the whole way to get my doctorate. And then I decided, you know what? I need a business degree. So I went back postdoc and got an executive MBA in healthcare and hit the road running since, just loving life, passionate about helping people overcome insecurities and maximize their potential.
Well, that's absolutely amazing, mainly because you, not only were you a first generation, what did you say, college student? So what does that mean? Tell me a little more on that one.
Sure. So I was the first one in my family to go to college. So secondary education. Pretty much where they, you know, the colleges take.
They certainly like that. They certainly like that money, right? And then they do, will happily take it. Take it for sure.
All of it, yes.
So fun story. I went to college and didn't really graduate, so I'm like a college dropout. But my wife, she's got multiple degrees, and I think I was like, one person is enough to get those degrees. But it's amazing that you went back to school to get that business degree so that you can build a business and help people strategize around business, not only just the mindset, but also with business. Talk to me, what parallels do you see between forensics and business strategy?
Oh, there's so many parallels. Forensic nursing, there's a lot that encompasses. The bottom line is that it is high, intense decision-making and also a lot of de-escalation, crisis intervention, crime scene investigation. And it really ties together with that entrepreneur mindset, business strategy, because you have to be able to make sometimes quick decisions in the high stakes area and also be able to have or make a seat at the table to execute those decisions and de-escalate if it gets heated.
Oh my God, de-escalation is very important, especially in so many ways, right? You were constantly communicating when human beings, we're working with, like, we're literally in every single business, human beings are involved. So having that skill set is super, super important. How do you de-escalate? How do you keep that mindset? Now, talk to me, was there a defining moment when you realized mindset was the key?
So, yes. There's many, right? But the one defining that is coming to my mind right now is the one time and the first time I went ice climbing. So I'm a trained mountaineer by trade, and I went ice climbing for the first time. Nice. And It was brutal. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I thought that I was in shape until the ice kicked my butt. And it wasn't until I got to an overhang, and you literally have to, like, do your axe pick and get your crampons like in the ice to be able to reach summit or even move. And I was stuck at this overhang, and it was like an angle like this where I had to go under and up to get to the next spot. That's when the mindset piece came in. My muscles were exhausted. I was like an anaerobic oxygen, freezing, couldn't even feel, my fingers or my toes. And it was like, I am going to do this. Fell multiple times. I was on a rope, so that's good. And I'd swing back in, and I'm like, we're getting over this hump. And I did it. And it was 100% mindset.
You know, that's so powerful because earlier today I was reading this post from my friend Jesse Itzler, I believe, and he was talking about running a 100 mile ultra marathon. I don't think it's called a marathon. I can't remember the name of it, but he's running 100 miles continuously. And I'm like, how did he do that? And he kept telling in his post that he, like at mile 38, he couldn't go past that mile 38.
Yeah.
And then he contacted this one guy. I'm like, hey, how, I want to do this 100. What do I do? And the guy's like, you know, I can help you get to that number in 2 days. I'm like, really? I'm
2
like, okay,
days.
2 days. I'm like, what? So one day he comes in and he says, he doesn't say anything at all. He's just there hanging out and said, okay, anytime that I ask you, how are you doing? You're just gonna say, I'm doing outstanding. I feel outstanding every time I ask you the question. It's like, all right, the next day, tomorrow we're going to get up at 4:45 and start running at 5 o'clock. So that second day, he went past the 38 miles. He got to 50 miles. And with that continuous training, he was able to do the 100 miles. In fact, that trainer did the 100 miles with him as well. I'm like, holy smokes, that's pretty mind-blowing. So when you said your mindset, right, you were able to go over that overhang because you kept trying, and it's the mindset, even though you're completely exhausted, completely depleted, but the mind creates that power. And I love the story that you shared about, you know, being that ice picking, or you're a mountaineer. And like the episode title mentions, mountaineering mindset. I love that imagery too. Now, what does that mean to you, and how can people apply it to their own lives? You just shared a couple of examples, but how can we apply it to our own lives?
So this is actually my upcoming book that is very similar to the title of it that will be out before the end of the year. And there's a ton of tips, tricks, and guides to accomplishing that. A little sneak peek is just knowing what those limiting beliefs are and also knowing where you want to get to. And it's very metaphoric, right? So just like you're trying to reach summit, there might be a goal that is either short term or long term, but it's really breaking it down into those bite-sized pieces where you master that mindset and keep that almost dopamine endorphin at the forefront to continue moving forward. And I think the piece that people miss the most is celebrating the small wins. We
Oh
jump
my
to
God.
celebrating the huge wins and we make a
Yes.
big deal out of it. But the momentum to keep that going has a lot to do with celebrating those little wins.
My God, I have been told about these celebrating small wins, and it's a hard thing for me to do, and I'm sure it's a hard thing for a lot of people to do as well, celebrating the small wins. What are some of the key things that we can do to get over that hump and do celebrate those small wins?
I coach people a lot on this, and they have the exact same response that you have. What does that mean? I never do that. Why would I do that? Really, it's just looking at your favorite thing. Like, if you like peanut M&Ms, you want to eat a whole bag of peanut M&Ms, whatever is going to motivate you. Doesn't have to be anything outrageous, but you set the bar for something that you are really going to be proud of or really enjoy. It doesn't have to be something elaborate. Maybe you give yourself an extra 10 minutes to watch Jack Reacher on
Sure.
Netflix, or,
Yeah.
you know, who knows? Whatever that looks like, that is
Yeah.
going to keep you motivated. I say that all the time. It's different for everybody. But there's also, you could do a repercussion. If you don't meet that goal, now you're not getting that extra bag of M&Ms. And if it really motivates you, you will do your best to reach the next goal.
I like that. So you're basically setting up reward system in our activity or daily activity. So hey, you get this done, you can have your dessert, you can have your peanut M&Ms. And my favorite, and if you have to know, is Nutella with some roasted honey nuts. Like that
Oh, I've never
combination,
had that.
so
I will have to
good.
try.
You have to try it. So sounds like you've been coaching a lot of high achievers, and like you said, they say the same thing. Like, how do you celebrate small wins? I only like to celebrate the big ones. It's really, really powerful. And I think based on what you just shared, the mindset or the framework that you essentially setting up, it gives us a freedom to, hey, you have a consequence. You either win or you either lose. But again, you have that failure as something that, hey, you learned something that if you don't do this, this is going to happen. So talk to me about why is that failure such an essential part of real success?
So I'm going to challenge you on the word failure. I tend to not use that word because
Okay,
it,
good.
it has such a negative connotation, but as a learning opportunity. So if you don't meet said goal, and now you, I don't want to say punish either, but like you deprive yourself of something that you really want, it's a learning opportunity to go back and reevaluate what didn't work, what did work well, but didn't reach that full potential or that goal.
Yeah.
And how can things be changed going forward? I think that's the important piece. And just enjoying the journey really is that's what it, the bottom line is. Because when we put these huge expectations on ourselves, some people it's debilitating to put that much pressure on themselves. So if you do these little rewards, it's like bite-sized Nutella with honey roasted peanuts,
Yeah.
and you can keep that momentum going.
No, that's really positive, and it's set in a positive mindset too, right? You're not only a growth mindset, but you're also setting a positive tone and teaching our own mindset, hey, here's the framework, and then you're more accountable to yourself, because that's something that I struggle with, and I'm sure a lot of people listening also struggle with, is being accountable to yourself. It's easy to be accountable for somebody else. We schedule this time to be together to record this episode, and it's easy to be accountable. But if I had scheduled a time for me to sit down and do some work, and maybe I'm feeling like I don't want to do that thing, or maybe I'm just feeling there's so much pressure, I might not be as accountable to myself.
This
How
is
about it?
true. Do you ever do time blocking?
Yes, all the time. It's
Oh, I
my
do,
favorite thing
but I
too.
think that's my demise because I
It's.
go back to the drawing board. I'm like, this is a little more important.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Shanna, you've said that your mission is to help people shift out of survival mode. How do you know when someone's stuck in that survival, and what's the first step toward peak performance?
So, survival mode is not always palpable from the outside, but when somebody can recognize that they're almost like in this cycle of insanity or just really trying to have energy to get through that day,
Yeah.
that's kind of right, that survival of just like that mundane trying to, pay the next bill, stay awake, take kids here and there. But in that mind shift set, to, I like to say, sort of thriver too, is that these things are achievable, but it's okay to not be okay and go back and rearrange and realign what's needed to get to that next point, and showing ourselves grace and compassion, which is really hard to do for
Yes, it is.
ourselves. We can do that for others much easier. But the mindset aspect really starts to shift whenever somebody takes that accountability and realizes, hey, I am just trying to make it through the day. And so it's going back to that almost intrinsic aspect of there's something at the core there. Let's explore that. Let's talk about that. And I use something that's called motivational interviewing. Are you familiar?
No, tell me more.
Oh, it's so great. So it's actually an evidence-based practice. And really, everybody, we all have the answer that we're searching for inside. A lot of times we're just looking for somebody to co-sign what we want to hear, right? But the reality is we have that answer. It might not be one that we're comfortable with, but it's the answer. And so my role in motivational interviewing, I say, is like being the Sherpa and guiding that conversation and that dialogue. But people really, when they're at a fork in the road, which happens how many times a day, we make so many decisions. It's whether we go right or go left, and just helping people navigate that on their own terms, eliciting those thoughts from the inside.
Wow, that's really powerful. I can't wait to give that a try. And in fact, I was experimenting that in the morning when I went for my haircut. I'm sitting in the car. And I'm like, is my barber gonna be there? Should I call? And I was like, sitting there for like 5 minutes, I'm like, why don't I just go inside and see if she's there or not? And it's pretty funny because I'm like, why am I resisting doing the work where a lot of us, we sit in that little time gap waiting to do something. We want that somebody else co-signing to say, hey, let's go and do this. Let's make this happen. What are some common survival mode patterns entrepreneurs fall into, Dr. Shana?
From my observation and expertise, I would say that their survival mode is just somebody that's burnt out, not sleeping well, maybe eating, overeating, not eating, not taking care of themselves, taking care of others, and prioritizing other people and other things over themselves. It can also just be that look of, I'm exhausted, I'm desperate, I need something to change. And that would be really the most obvious way to kind of identify it.
No, that's really powerful, and it's reminding me of things that I've gone through myself. Like, hey, I'm might be in survival mode right now, or I might be in a mode where I'm not feeling 100% and I need some outside intervention or outside support. Now, as you're sharing this, how can leaders recognize it in their teams that the team is going through the survival mode as well?
Yeah, when it comes to teams, a lot of people like checking out just mentally or not being, as invested as they previously have been in the work. Also team dynamics, right? People don't leave jobs because they don't like what they're doing. They leave jobs because of the leaders or coworkers. And so sometimes even if that's recognized, just having it sounds silly, but some kind of team building activity where people see what their mission and purpose is instead of feeling like, oh, this is my duty, this is their duty, but how does it intertwine and what is the ultimate goal? Because that's what people really want to know is where am I making a difference or an impact? So just seeing people kind of retreat or even what's the new buzzword? Silently quit. But there's also silently firing. So there's all these buzzwords. But yeah, that would be a way to for sure recognize if somebody's checked out or they're not performing like they used to.
Quiet quitting it is what I've heard. Right? They're quitting quietly, and you just find like less interaction, or they're not as dialed in. And you're right, it is an example of burnout. It is an example of overstimulation and all the things that we had gone through over the last few years through the
Yeah, and
pandemic.
sometimes people need to call you out. Burnout is a funny thing. You often don't know that you are burnt out or burning out until somebody's like, maybe take this burnout assessment. Like, what are all these signs or symptoms? You just feel exhausted. And that could even be the biggest sign of burnout because you're just at your wit's end.
Absolutely. Dr. Clancy, this has already been a powerful conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and insights into mindset and resilience. Thanks so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
It was. Thank you for having me. I look forward to chatting again in the future. Hopefully your audience gets a few nuggets out of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's cool is that we're just getting started, because in part two, we'll go deeper into your strategies for business growth, peak performance, and how leaders can integrate the mindset practices into their organizations. And I just can't wait to go deeper into that.
Sounds good. Thank you, Junaid. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure as well. All right, guys, if you're listening now, don't stop here. Make sure to catch part two, because that's where we'll take these principles and turn them into practical strategies you can implement today with Dr. Clancy. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.